In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Glory to Jesus Christ. In Bible times, a talent was a unit of money, and actually quite a large unit. One talent was like $5,000. It was a gold coin that would have had the emperor's likeness on it. It was their largest unit of money. But in our Savior's parable, the term talent is used figuratively for the priceless gifts that God gives to each of us. In English, it works out kind of nice. When we hear the word talent, what do we think of? We think of abilities and gifts, which is very similar to how the term is used in this parable. In our story, one servant receives five, another two, and another one. And the master comes and returns and sees what they've done. And the one servant that received the five had made five talents more. And the one that received two talents, it says he traded and made two talents more. And they present these to their master, and he says, "Well done, good and faithful servant." But if we're not speaking of money, if in the parable that term means gifts that God has given to us, spiritual gifts, our inner abilities and our talents, so to speak, how do the first two multiply those gifts? How do you take an internal spiritual gift and multiply it? Well, think, for example, of a singer or a musician. When they perform, they bring joy to others, and that gift is multiplied. The gift of that they have singing, that joy is then spread to somebody else. Or when we who are able-bodied visit a shut-in, we bring companionship to someone else. And thus we've multiplied that gift. And not only among people, we've taken the gift of being able-bodied and turned it into companionship. We've turned it into something that wasn't even there before. The companionship, in a sense, comes out of nothing, and yet it comes out of the gift that God has given us, the gift of being able-bodied. Sunday school teachers will touch quite a number of students over the years with the message of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Starts with a willingness to teach, and it becomes multiplied into the fire of the gospel in someone's heart. Remember Tabitha from the book of Acts. She made clothes and shared them. And if you make something and share it, and it really doesn't matter what you make, anything you make that you share multiplies the gift of your abilities. And then on the flip side, there's that servant who received the one talent. And when he returns, he tells the master, "You're a hard man, and I didn't know what to do, so I buried it. Here, take what's yours." The master is not pleased. What does it look like when one of us buries God's gifts? When someone doesn't have a warm coat or blankets, and we've got more warm coats in our closet than we could possibly use, we've buried a talent. When someone's reputation is being hammered by gossip, and we keep quiet, we've buried a talent. The unopened Bible by our nightstand is a buried talent. Our unwillingness to forgive can be a huge buried talent. You know, as Christ forgave us, as we heard in the epistle, we also forgive others that we have a complaint against. You know, even time can be a buried gift. And sometimes that's the biggest of the buried gifts we have, because when we bury that gift, it encompasses so many others. And I'm not just talking about wasting a few minutes in front of the television. There are much worse ways to bury the gift of time that lasts months and even years. Last Sunday, I got together with my Minnesota cousins for dinner. We had the best time. We laugh and we joke and we tell stories and we share memories and talk about family and life and God and spiritual life and all kinds of things when we get together. And it's really a wonderful and heartwarming evening. We make connections that can't possibly come without being together. But growing up in California, I didn't have a whole lot of time to see extended family because none of them live close by. My entire childhood, I saw my Minnesota cousins a few times, not per year, but ever. Just ever. And when we moved to Minnesota and then Wisconsin, we saw a little more of them, but still not enough. You know how life gets busy. We have college, and we have marriage, and we have kids, and next thing you know, I'm in my mid-40s. Well, recently, we started getting together again. And I think the ideas that we share, and the love that we share, and the joy that we share is finally using one of those talents, one of those gifts that God gives to us in family. But I do confess, I wonder, why did it take years, or in this case, even decades, to simply start? And that gift of time, brothers and sisters, goes by so fast, and it's easy to bury. And so again, the question is not how many minutes did I waste in front of the TV last night? It's how many weeks has that Bible sat unopened? It's how many months have I put off a visit or a connection with someone? It's how many years will go by before I share that gift that God has given me that I know that I'm able to share. The beautiful part, brothers and sisters, the beautiful part is that as long as you're breathing, as long as you still have the breath of life, it doesn't matter how much time has passed, it's not too late to start sharing now. You each have an amazing array of gifts from God, gifts beyond price, gifts that can comfort the afflicted, gifts that can warm those who are cold, gifts that can bring the hope of the gospel to the downtrodden or connect with the lonely, gifts that glorify the God who entrusted them to you. Amen.